College senior Keith Montgomery stands trial for the rape of classmate Riley Page.
In a case of he said, she said, we've never had the benefit of court-admitted lie detection.
She starts coming on to me.
I said, get off me. I said, stop.
There is simply not enough corroborating evidence.
When one person's word is pitted against another's, how do we exact justice? Keith Montgomery stands trial in the sexual battery of Riley Page. With limited physical evidence, a new form of lie detection, and an investigation under investigation, the Montgomery jury must determine if the truth lies with the victim or the defendant. Arguments have concluded and deliberations are in progress. The hashtag MeToo and Defense Fund Time's Up are cultural movements taking place that denounce sexual harassment and assault. These are taking place in the wake of an onslaught of sexual misconduct accusations, many against wealthy and powerful men. The complainants coming forward are sometimes believed and sometimes doubted by those who believe them, politically or otherly motivated. The heart-wrenching assertions by victims, the swift moves to judgment, the high stakes surrounding each accusation are overwhelming. We are focused now, collectively, on allegations of sexual misconduct. We need to reach a consensus on what's acceptable and what isn't. The gray areas of consent need to come into focus. The question of who should be believed and at what point needs to be answered. How much corroborating evidence is required to form a real judgment? How do we protect victims while also protecting those with a legal presumption of innocence? How are we fair to both sides? And who do we believe when it comes down to he said, she said? In Tallahassee, Florida, college senior Keith Montgomery stands trial for the alleged rape of fellow classmate and ex-girlfriend, Riley Page. When a stranger rapes an unsuspecting victim, it's easier to convince a jury that a rape occurred. But when two people know each other, when two people have a history, and an allegation of rape is made, convincing a jury of a crime becomes much more challenging.
The reality is, this is a difficult case for the state to prosecute.
Why is that?
Because it's a non-stranger alleged rape. It's not clean and simple. It's messy. Anytime there is a relationship between a complainant and defendant, it complicates the case. When that relationship is complex, or as some would say, sordid, it hurts the state's case even more.
What does the prosecution need to do in order to address these obstacles?
The prosecution needs to address the relationship, not deny it. They need to explain the defendant and complainant's history as cleanly and fully as possible, knowing full well the defense will do the same thing.
What can we expect from opening statements?
Each side is going to present the same story in the way most helpful to their arguments, with the defense attorney leaning into those kids' histories as deeply as possible.
Danielle Penn, defense attorney.
Riley and Keith met in the final semester of their junior year and began dating after summer break. They were together 6 months when Riley discovered Keith was unfaithful. He'd begun a relationship with an older woman named Lila, a local bartender and single mother. Despite how upset Riley was by this news, she did not want the relationship to end. She didn't want Keith to leave her. She asked him to stay.
Prosecutor Maureen Brooks.
Despite being cheated on, lied to, and deceived, Riley was willing to forgive Keith. It's true, Riley didn't want the relationship to end, and it's true she pursued him temporarily after their breakup.
More than pursue, we're talking email after email, text after text. She would wait outside of his class for an opportunity to speak with him.
I want you to think back to the time you were in school, exploring your first relationships. How did you act? Did you ever act needy? Ever clingy? I know I did. I'll wager a dollar everyone in this room has at least one embarrassing anecdote about the way they behaved around an ex. But I urge you to maintain perspective, because not everyone in this room has stood trial for willfully forcing him or herself on another person.
The night of April 19th, Keith learned that his current girlfriend, Lila, had physically reunited with the father of their child.
Keith's new girlfriend slept with another man. And guess what? Keith was enraged, The cheater had been cheated on.
He did what most young men for his age would do, sought solace in the arms of another woman.
In a state of anger and focusing solely on having his physical needs met, he bought a bottle of Jack Daniels and headed straight to Riley's apartment.
He picked up a gift and went to Riley's home. He was looking for comfort, and he found it. Riley had been aggressively pursuing him for months. Now, in a state of confusion and vulnerability, Keith turned to her for compassion and warmth. This is exactly the spirit in which Riley welcomed him. Unfortunately, Riley's roommate was away.
Unfortunately, Riley's roommate was away. Riley welcomed her ex-boyfriend into her apartment to offer him a kind ear, the same as she would do for any friend. He wanted to have a drink, and she poured them both a glass of whiskey he brought. Over the drink, she listened to him. She learned what had happened. She felt sympathetic. Now, there's a lot of evidence to support the fact that by this night, Riley had completely moved on from Keith. She hadn't written him in weeks. She'd recently gone on a date with a barista from the coffee shop. But let's say, for the sake of argument, she still had lingering feelings for Keith. I'll tell you, there's nothing to emulate the cold shower effect quite like a man droning on and on about another woman. I mean, drunkenly sharing his feelings for someone else, it doesn't exactly set the mood. Riley will tell you she felt badly for Keith that night, but she also felt badly for herself. Because she was the ex-girlfriend sitting on a couch listening to a seemingly endless tirade from a boy she used to love about his desire for another woman and the injustice of his new girlfriend cheating on him.
It was everything she wanted. She was ecstatic. What woman doesn't want the man who left her, cheated on her, to come crawling back, hat in hand, and say, "You were right. The woman I left you for doesn't deserve me. You were right about her."
She pitied him.
She wanted him.
All right, so I'm Brayden and have volunteered for your foreperson, which I've graciously accepted. Thank you. So I guess we'll just kind of go over the timeline between Keith and Riley here for the night in question. So the first thing we know is that they dated for 6 months. Keith left Riley for another woman named Lila. Riley pursued Keith following the breakup, but he wouldn't take her back. They've been apart for 10 weeks. So on the night in question, Keith had a fight with Lila and went straight to Riley's apartment. The defense claims Riley desired him when he came to her apartment. The prosecution claims she pitied him and wanted him to drown in his troubles as an act of kindness. What do you think?
I think he's an attractive kid. I think he's seems somewhat smooth-ish. I don't think that's his fault. But also, like, it's an attractive man who's also her ex coming to her apartment at night. And that's just something that we need to think about.
Was he in an attractive state of mind?
What does that mean?
He was showing up with alcohol, wanted to complain about the woman that he just cheated on her with. Now that he'd had his heart broken, now he's going back.
Well, she probably didn't know exactly what he was, he was going to drone on about, some other girl or something.
Yeah, so. She knew that he hadn't responded to any of her messages or anything for weeks.
Maybe she was curious in what he had to say, but I don't think she desired him. That's not why she opened the door. This is a man who hurt her.
Yeah.
But she spent so long pursuing him after he had rejected her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was probably happy to see him.
Yeah.
When he showed up, even though there was a pause in the relationship and she was trying to move on, I'm sure she was happy to see him after mm-hmm. it being so long. And seeing him in a way where he was happy to see her, because she had probably felt rejected, where he didn't want to see her. And now she's finally getting some kind of, acceptance from him.
Was he going to see her because he wanted to see her or because he was desperate? And there was no one else.
I think he was definitely desperate. Yeah. You know, it's like maybe in his mind he had had those moments where he had thought about, you know, getting back together with Riley. You know, he had maybe resented it at some point. And then during that time, she had been going forth and texting him constantly. And so in his mind, she's in love with him. She wants him bad. So he probably wasn't thinking about some of that middle stuff. He was just thinking, this girl wants me. She's been texting me. She's right there as a backup to get put into this play. And, you know, he's probably very arrogant, but I think, you know, he was not thinking that she was even like, he was probably thinking she was excited, I think.
Well, he's probably just lonely. I mean, he's drawing him lonely. I'm sure there weren't a lot of other people to call or something, but, you know, that was, yeah, and I'm sure she probably was just curious, I would think.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe there's a moment where she thinks, oh, he's here because he's going to confess his love and tell me, like, he made a huge mistake or something like that. But the second he opens his mouth and he's wasted and he's talking about the older woman that's cheated on him. Like,
do we know that he was wasted?
Did he show up drunk or did he just show up?
He bought a bottle of Jack Daniels, which to me is like not that romantic.
No. You know?
Yeah,
bottle of Jack.
Well, hold on there, sir.
You're right. I feel like Jack comes after a few drinks. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Or unless that's her favorite drink and he's like, hey, you know, or something. Maybe she loves Jack
young
Daniels.
Girl's
and that's
favorite alcohol. Yeah. Right. Okay. Jack Daniels, 100%.
A girl, I guess.
Go ahead.
She might have been happy for the opportunity to take care of him once again, you know? And if he's coming to her in pain, she might have just wanted to help take care of him. She cares about him. They've already had a relationship. And even if she's moved on, she probably just wants to care for him.
We also don't know exactly how he presented this to her. You know, I got to talk to you. You know, can I come see you quick? Was he upset? Mm. Was he crying? You know, how did he?
It sounded pretty impulsive. It was the same day as the breakup.
Like it just
happened. Yeah, goes and, you know, buys a bottle of Jack Daniels, goes to his ex who hasn't talked to in weeks. Sounds fairly impulsive.
Yeah.
And she had the option to close the door and she chose not to. So.
Well, I don't suppose he just showed up and was like shouting at her or being threatening or anything like that.
Right.
I can
understand
her having feelings maybe or certainly concern. But what happened over the next few hours, that's unclear.
Everyone I know wants to eat better, including me. Cut out processed foods, stop boredom and convenient snacking, ingest more nutrients, all the good things. After a recent unfortunate backslide of mine, I've been able to get into a really healthy routine with Daily Harvest. I like it because it's so easy. In the morning, I grab a smoothie cup out of the freezer and blend it for 30 seconds. And around lunch, I can just grab a soup out of the freezer and heat it up for 5 minutes, tops. My intake of fruits and vegetables has gone up while I'm spending less time shopping and preparing food than ever before. And I feel great about what I'm putting in my body. All of Daily Harvest's produce is organic and unrefined. You can actually see all the whole ingredients when you open the cups, like cocoa nibs, chunks of mango, whole raspberries, pumpkin seeds, and coconut meat. And it's all frozen at peak freshness, which I've learned seals in the nutritional value. Nice. I love ease, and I love feeling good about myself. Daily Harvest is the no-stress choice for eating better. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code DELIBERATIONS to get 3 items free in your first box. That's promo code DELIBERATIONS for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. daily-harvest.com. Riley states on the night of April 19th, Keith forcibly raped her on her sofa after ignoring her protests. And then he left. Riley showered and went to bed, but she did not sleep. The following morning, she missed class. This would be the only anomaly in her schedule before going to the sheriff's office 4 days later. Other than her one missed class, Riley adhered to her normal schedule. She took class, she showed up to her hostessing job, However, friends and family will say something seemed to be bothering her. She was distracted and sad. She didn't return texts. She didn't log on to social media. On the fourth day, Riley's roommate, Andrea King, returned home from a vacation with her family. Upon hearing Riley's account of what happened with Keith, she insisted on driving Riley to the sheriff's office and making an official report.
Andrea, why did you encourage Riley to go to the police station rather than the campus administration?
Well, for starters, this didn't happen on campus. It happened in our apartment. And I wouldn't encourage anyone to go to campus authorities instead of the police. I've heard the stories in the news, and I know enough to realize universities don't have an unblemished reputation for working with victims. Plus, I did not want Keith to be expelled. I thought he should go to jail.
Andrea, is Riley the only girl you've known in college who claimed to be sexually battered?
Okay. Riley is a woman, not a girl, and I take issue with the phrase that she's claiming sexual battery.
You can take issue with whatever you'd like, but that is the legal reality. This is a claim. Would you like me to restate the question, Ms. King?
I've known several women who've been sexually assaulted during my college years.
How many is several?
Three.
How many of those three women reported the incident to the authorities?
Zero.
Did that make you angry?
Yes.
Because you wanted to see justice done?
Yes.
Were you angry the morning Riley told you about Keith?
Yes, of course.
Did you want Riley to go to the police?
Yes.
Did she initially want to go to the police?
No.
You encouraged her?
Yes.
Before going to the police, how much detail did Riley give you regarding the incident?
By incident, do you mean rape?
By incident, I mean alleged rape.
She told me what happened to her.
In detail? Did she tell you what he said to her? What she said to him? Who touched whom, when, and how?
Objection. Compound.
Withdrawn. Miss King, did Riley go into a great deal of detail regarding the incident before you decided to take her to the police station?
No, she was in shock.
Move to strike, Your Honor. Miss King is not a psychiatric expert and cannot diagnose the defendant.
Stricken.
Andrea, were you angry at all the men you've known to sexually assault your friends and get away without punishment?
Of course.
And you didn't get the entire story of what happened between Riley and Keith before insisting she report him to the police, did you?
Objection asked and answered.
Actually, it wasn't.
Overruled. Please answer the question.
No, I didn't hear every detail.
Is it possible your history of anger in witnessing injustice by sexual offenders influenced your conduct with Riley that morning?
I don't understand.
Was your judgment clouded by previous bad acts committed by previous bad people, all of which had nothing to do with my client?
Was my judgment clouded? No. My judgment was sound.
Miss King, I'm going to show you an article from your campus newspaper. It's called The Entitlement of Modern Day Coeds, Will, Whiskey, and Women. Do you recognize this article?
Yes, I wrote it.
I'd like to introduce this as Defense Exhibit 28. Miss King, would you please read the highlighted portion?
There needs to be more than a framework for accountability for offenders. The framework is there. The protocol exists. The problem is executing this protocol. The problem is women aren't speaking out. When 98% of women assaulted under the influence of drugs and alcohol don't even report the crime, how can offenders be held accountable? Women need to report what's happening to them. Not sometimes, every time.
Thank you. It sounds like you had a real agenda to get women to report crimes.
Objection, please. Your Honor, not only is that not a question, but there's no foundation for the testimony that was just offered by counsel. That's three. How many objections do I need?
Just one. Counsel is testifying. Sustained.
I'm finished, Your Honor.
Andrea, will you please read the text immediately following the highlighted portion on Exhibit 28?
I recognize how wrong it is to put the onus of accountability on the victim. We, as a society, are saying it's a woman's job to prevent rape by not dressing provocatively and avoiding dangerous areas. Then, if a woman is raped, it's her job to ensure justice is done by reporting the crime and doing so in the most irreproachable way possible. Where exactly are the men's agency in all of this? When exactly will we look to the men to solve the problem of rape?
It seems odd to me that Andrea, her roommate, Riley's roommate, motivated her to go to the police. At least to me, because after that article was shown, it just seems like she has an agenda against men to me. I mean, specifically. And she also seems to embellish a little bit. Knowing several women to me doesn't mean three. So to me, her words are not trustworthy necessarily, nor do I think it's unbiased. Don't you guys think it's possible that Andrea motivated Riley to report a crime that didn't warrant reporting simply for her agenda?
It sounded like she didn't have the complete story. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounded like the details weren't necessarily there, and that she could have...
But put yourself in her shoes for a second, even without her previous article. If you're just coming home and seeing your best friend and roommate upset, traumatized by something, and she says something happens, all you can do is be a strong influence for them, right? And just say, God, well, let me support you in this. And I think the right thing to do is to tell her to go to the police if she felt like something happened.
Yeah, but she didn't have all the information, it sounds like. I definitely agree, support.
But it's the police's job to take.
Does she need to have all the information?
Isn't the police, isn't that their job to get the information?
I just think you have to consider that, she definitely has clearly some sort of, she, look at the article she wrote, the way she was on the stand. She was really kind of almost angry seeming.
So she just seemed strong to me.
Yeah, what are they trying to suggest?
Angry?
Because she wrote an article about the entitlement of men on campus or whatever, or because she stuck up for, rape victims before, that means that she fabricated this? I mean, all she's
not necessarily,
doing is
but
encouraging her friend to go to the police.
But perhaps more than encouraging, it just seems like she has kind of an axe to grind or something. She just
I agree. She said she had a sound judgment, but a sound judgment to me is someone that's calm and collected, and she didn't sound calm and collected to me. She sounded a little angry as well.
She didn't get any detail.
She just seemed passionate.
Potentially assaulted by someone, and we're not here. But
how did she not even ask the details? I mean,
bringing it back to Riley for a moment, she's obviously been through something very traumatizing, and of course she wants to just squish it down and move on with her life. And maybe she needs that help of a friend coming to her and giving her that suggestion. And then she walked into that police department on her own.
Yeah.
No one was handcuffing her, dragging her down.
Completely. Yeah.
But she needed that friend to come and help bring her in, to bring this thing up that she probably wanted to forget ever happened.
Yeah, she needed that strong woman to just influence her to speak the truth.
Whether or not Andrea has an axe to grind, I feel is irrelevant to what we're trying to come to a decision here, because ultimately, yes, it wasn't Andrea that went to the police. It was Riley. She was the one that gave the testimony. She was the one that said this happened to her. So regardless of how Andrea feels, we need to figure out whether or not what Riley said was true.
But I mean, it is a factor, though. I mean, she could have totally influenced her if this didn't actually occur. I mean, what if it's they just had intercourse, and then she comes in with this bias, Andrea, and then she talked her into it almost. I could see her, who knows? She could be kind of like saying, did he do this? Did he do this? Or maybe she's, who knows if she even said, like, let's just go to the police. Let's just, she rushed
it. She needed to be talked into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She wasn't going to go on her own. She needed to be talked into it.
Because
maybe she wasn't raped.
Because she was ashamed and embarrassed.
Attacked. Would you need to be convinced that you were attacked? Or were you attacked?
No, I don't think you need to be convinced that you attacked, but I think you might need to be convinced to go forward about something that's incredibly shameful.
Okay. Think about all of the societal pressures going on here that make victims not want to speak their mind and say exactly what happened to them and speak their truth. Sometimes you need the support of a friend in order to do that.
But I just want, I just think we have to, I mean, it's very possible that she, if she did, so she did sleep with him, but it's like maybe she felt embarrassed after all this time. You can imagine the conversations she's had with her roommate about, you know, staying away from him, stop obsessing over him,
so
time to move on.
So
if she, maybe she's just embarrassed because she totally caved and slept with him, you know,
after she didn't want to look at
him. Then she wouldn't need to say anything.
Yeah, why would she want to take that to trial? If she was embarrassed by that, she's going to be really embarrassed.
Well, she didn't until perhaps Andrea.
Well, yeah, like we have to remember this. And I wrote this down, and this is verbatim what was said. Defense, what were your feelings about the defendant prior to the morning you took Raleigh to the police station? Andrea, they were negative. Defense, why is that? Andrea, I'd watch him put Raleigh through a lot. He cheated on her. He was cold and indifferent to her. I didn't think much of him. So obviously Andrea has negative feelings about Keith, and somewhat coerced her. Now, did that affect whether or not that's the reason why she made her do that? Who knows? But the fact of the matter is that's on the table, and we need to look at that because that's a big thing. If someone has negative feelings towards someone, obviously they're going to have the worst in mind for them.
And I think there's something there as well as so if Raleigh had – if she didn't want to – if she still had feelings for Keith, you know, in all of this, and so she's seeing him, and then she has this friend, Andrea, that she knows doesn't like him, and she's good friends with this person, how is she going to – you know, just if she's going to be embarrassed to her friend as well. You know, she's going to be disappointing to her friend and say, you know, she has this friend who's doesn't like Keith, doesn't hate him, and all of a sudden she doesn't want to be embarrassed and say, you know what, I maybe do still have feelings for this guy after he treated me like shit for 3 weeks, you know, and it is lame and it is pathetic. And that is a judgment, but we do things like this.
If this was something that Raleigh was shameful of, why would she turn to her? Unless there actually was something that went on that needed to be discussed that was more traumatizing.
Well,
than just
maybe she just was discussing the
her
fact that
shame of sleeping with him consensually.
Maybe she was just discussing that she slept with him and she felt embarrassed about just that she caved to sleep with him or something. Or maybe it was a little rough, but it wasn't rape or something. And then she, I mean,
whoa,
I could see Andrea pushing it.
Like a little rough.
That is tough. I mean, that's hard to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of young men have a sense of entitlement. And so what if he came over knowing that this was going to happen and she's thinking, oh, I'm just going to take care of this person who's hurting right now. And Andrea also brought up about her three friends that have been through this that didn't report it because of people like this scrutinizing what happened and what didn't happen. And that's why people don't come forward, is because this is what happens. And so And probably those people that were the attackers of those other three people are running around with the same sense of entitlement.
Right. And not only that, but we're talking about what Andrea said. And obviously she's not a psychiatrist and she's not a doctor, but the state of shock that she felt like her friend was in after this happened and whatever trauma she's dealing with in that moment that might make you not want to speak, might make you want to go about your life just like it is the same because you're trying so hard to hold on to any control that you have left.
Denial.
Well, and what about that? Her schedule, she missed one class, right? And other than that,
she wasn't talking to anyone?
I thought that her schedule was basically exactly the same, except for one class.
But they said that she wasn't being social, she wasn't going on social media. Okay. So
that's another difference. But people take breaks all the time from social media.
Yeah, but
especially if
it just happens to be after.
Well, people certainly miss classes in the morning. Well, don't forget, I mean, she was probably up late with this guy. So, I mean, they did have sex. That's whether it was consensual or not. They were up late. So I'm saying it makes sense. Either way, she would miss the class or morning
class.
Well,
you to have someone in your ear saying, you're dumb. You're going to eventually start thinking, maybe I'm a little bit dumb. If you're sitting there having someone saying, you were raped.
You're saying that's what Andrea was doing.
I think it's a possibility. I mean, I'm saying she told her to go to the cops. So if it did not happen, then there's also a mental health issue here as well. Like you have to think about that.
The likelihood of someone going to the cops for no reason, just because their friend told them to?
When you're in a delicate state like that, you don't know what can happen.
Well, if she's in a delicate state, why is that? Is it because it was some preconceived plan, scheme on her friend's part, or is it because she was genuinely traumatized and reeling from the event for which she decided to go to the police about?
She could be in a delicate state, just having slept with this guy she was obsessed over for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then he finally sleeps with her again.
She all started dating another guy.
That's why it's so traumatizing,
right? These are younger, 20, 21 years old, where emotions are,
these things
are not mature adults.
Yeah.
You know, they're dealing with hormones, you know, and I mean, I guess they're not right out of puberty, but it's a little bit further. They don't have...
They're not cold and dead inside like we are now.
We're not trying her as a young adult. We're trying her as an adult. So I think we have to give her that credit, that she knows what rape is.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? If you're a business owner or someone working to realize a vision, you understand how important it is to find the exact right person. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire because it doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 of the web's leading top boards. Then it actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invites them to apply. They even review every application to identify top candidates, so your greatest matches are distilled down and your role gets even simpler. 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. Back to the show. My word against yours. He said, she said. An obstruction to justice since the dawn of language. When a criminal charge comes down to one person's word against another's, the burden of proof is insurmountable. Isn't it?
What is statement analysis?
It's a lie-detecting science based on language. Word choice, word placement, pronouns, tense, the passage of time. The myriad of details we put into every sentence we construct paints a picture. We select every word we use for a reason. Every syllable is a choice. When a person is being truthful, those choices are different than the choices made by someone who is being deceptive. Statement analysis can reveal when someone is lying.
How long has this science existed?
That's a little complicated. Lie detection through statement analysis has existed in one form or another since the 1950s. Statement analysis is sometimes called investigative discourse analysis and sometimes scientific content analysis, aka SCAN. They're all essentially the same thing, examining statements to determine truthfulness. The exact methods have varied and evolved over the decades.
Turning now to Ms. Ludwig, our resident legal analyst. Ms. Ludwig, if this science has existed for decades, why is this the first time it's being admitted in a court of law?
It's generally not admissible. Statement analysis, like the polygraph, is considered to have too high a margin for error to be admissible in court.
To speak to that point, I will state that statement analysis has a lower margin of error than polygraphs. Polygraphs are approximately 70% accurate. Statement analysis is closer to 84% accurate.
My understanding is that's debatable. But I'm here to address the legal issues. The reason it's being admitted in this trial is that the defense has stipulated to its admission as evidence of a flawed investigation.
The way in which the Leon County Sheriff's Office used statement analysis in this investigation was described as irresponsible and reckless by the defense. However, the prosecution stands behind not only the science itself, but its use in determining the guilt of Keith Montgomery. The following are excerpts from press conferences held by both the defense and the state.
We did what we had to do to ensure the truth comes out in this trial. The truth is, we're in a college town. Sexual battery has been all over the news for years. There's been public pressure to go after and convict these perpetrators. The DA's office was under pressure. The sheriff's office was under pressure. So when a young girl walked into the sheriff's office with an axe to grind against her ex-boyfriend, officers wanted to be real. They wanted to catch and prosecute my client. They never asked themselves, what if he's innocent? Where is the evidence? He didn't do it. Do we have enough evidence to move forward? No. They judge first and ask questions later.
Miss Page was raped. That's the tragic reality, just like the tragic realities rape victims face every day. Doubt, mockery, suspicion. Is this really the dignity we're affording our victims? It doesn't feel okay to me. Miss Page was raped. I'll say it again, even though I know how uncomfortable the word makes people. She was raped. This was no biased investigation. There was a tremendous amount of thought and consideration that went into these investigators' decisions. The lead detective used lie detection not to frame Keith Montgomery. He was using every tool, every resource at his disposal. What other methods do we have? Should every battery be videotaped before we'll prosecute? Should every perpetrator confess before we'll convict? Is that realistic? Ms. Penn claims this case is an example. Maybe she's right. It's an example we are not going to let sex offenders go unpunished in this county. It's an example that the rules are changing. Victims do have a voice. Offenders will stand trial. Yes, sex offenses are hard to prosecute, but it's time we start consistently bringing this evidence to juries and letting them decide.
He said, she said. The ancient and hopeless conundrum. Or maybe, not so hopeless. Next time on Deliberations.
Most people expect rape victims to fight back.
Would you respond by phoning your attacker?
Just please call me back, Keith. Please.
Deliberations is created, written, produced, directed, and edited by me, Chelsea Cox, and it proudly airs as part of the Audio Boom Network. Today's cast, jury, Lindsay Purcell, Lindsay Fishkin, Lindsay Mallard. Yes, there are three Lindsays in my jury. I'm not going to call that out every episode, but pretty weird. Ross Denyer, Kevin Bryan, and Drew Phillips. News and courtroom, Alyssa Ariel Perez, Laura Meadows, Christina Leon, Lauren Fiala, Cheyenne Gustafson, and Victoria Dunn. This Monday, we're speaking with Jessa and Nick from the hit podcast Getting Off about the Herculean task of balancing victims' rights with defendants' presumption of innocence. Don't miss it. We'll see you next week.